Bloomington resident Missy Dowders has struggled with addiction and homelessness for more than 20 years. When Dowders was charged with several drug-related D-class felonies, the judge gave her two options: go to jail or complete the drug treatment court program. Almost 2 years later, Dowders reflects on her decision.
It's amazing. It turned out to be one of the hardest at first I've ever done, and then in the end, one of the best things I've ever done in my life thus far.
Without access to the help they need, drug offenders move through the criminal justice system in a predictable pattern: arrest, prosecution, conviction, incarceration, release, repeat. Amethyst House Residential Program Coordinator Annie Cheek says problem-solving courts can help break the cycle.
You know, these addictive things are not going away, so obviously I don't think incarceration really is doing anything to help people, you know, who have drug, alcohol, gambling problems. It's still all available to them. So I think problem-solving courts in general have really been an amazing way where we can start looking more at treatment versus incarceration.
Drug Court's presiding judge, Mary Ellen Dekoff, says the voluntary two-year program serves as an alternative to prison for nonviolent defendants charged with felony alcohol or drug-related offenses.
So the whole point of the court is to help them get into sobriety and then get them out of the system permanently, we hope. So the goal has always been the same, and that's the goal, and that's our purpose, and we're pretty successful at it, actually.
Monroe County Problem Solving Court Director Steve Malone says if a participant successfully completes the program, their charges will be dropped. Those who don't complete the program or violate the requirements are terminated from drug court and usually sent to prison.
They don't necessarily need to be in jail. They will suffer consequences if they do something they're not supposed to out on the program, and that could mean jail time. But allowing them to be in the public, working, paying taxes, getting treatment, doing what they need to do is what we're about, because addiction is a disease and it is very treatable.
In drug court, the judge, the prosecutor, defense counsel, case managers, and treatment provider work as a team to help individual participants successfully complete the program. Malone says the team meets at least once a week, and when problems arise, the group must reach a consensus before taking action.
It's pretty cool to see all of us get along, because in the typical traditional court setting, that doesn't always happen. But in drug court and in the team setting like this, this is truly what helps.
The participant's performance is immediately and directly communicated to the judge, who rewards progress or punishes noncompliance. Drug court establishes a system that presents clear choices and encourages participants to take control of their own recovery.
There's something that you have to do every day to keep accountable, and if you don't do those things, you don't stay accountable. I mean, you're just not going to make it, period. And either you want to do it and you want to be clean and sober, or, you know, you're just going to be in jail or prison.
The program employs a multi-phase treatment process that includes a stabilization phase, an intensive treatment phase, and a transition phase. Cheek says this process gives participants the skills they need to achieve long-term recovery.
It's such an accomplishment to do because it's a hard program, but I think it's structured in a way where people can learn how to live sober and can get some experience on what that feels like. And then when they graduate and they don't have to go to court and day reporting and stuff, they still have all of that under their belt. And I think it's a pretty amazing program. I think they've really helped a lot of people.
Ross Martini Eiler, a member of the local Christian worker movement, agrees that drug court can be a great resource for rehabilitation, but says the requirements for entry exclude some of the people who need it most. For example, one of the requirements for drug court is that participants have access to safe, stable, sober living conditions.
And I mean, we have got four calls. There are people who are identified by the court system as candidates for mental health court or drug court. So they've been recognized that they don't pose a threat to our society and would do better for their recovery to be released. But they're poor and they don't have a house, and so they stay in jail rather than be released.
While local treatment providers like Amethyst House do what they can to help, Cheek says limited resources and high demand make it impossible to house everyone.
That's one of our biggest problems, especially our women's house only has 10 beds, and our program is 6 months long, so we don't have a ton of movement in there. So sometimes the problem is we might get a lot of referrals, but may not be able to get someone in right away, just with other people that might be waiting for a bed.
When participants are unable to access a safe, stable, sober home, Malone says the court has no choice but to send these individuals to jail until space becomes available. Dowders, who was unable to get a bed at Amethyst until 6 months after she applied, says it was worth the wait.
If there's a program or something you can get into here, maybe a way or what have you, but just hang on because there is plenty of help. I mean, I know that I've gotten plenty, and if I can do it, then anybody else can do it also. If you truly want to be sober, there's plenty of help here.
After she moves out of Amethyst House in December, Dowder says she looks forward to buying her first home and going to school for her phlebotomy certificate. Reporting for WFHB, this is Julie Masterson.